All right, let's welcome in. He's going to be a Hall of Famer in about, I guess they'd call that 5 years. And we love having him in studio, Mr. Jason Kelce. Good morning, Jason.
How's it going, Joe? Thanks for having
me. Oh, thank you, sir. As, of course, Jason is always brought to us by, as I flip through my pages here, Garage Beer, which, by the way, is not just any beer. It's, you know, Jason's beer. The garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be, find Garage Beer at your local retailer or drink garagebeer.com, official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. How you been, Jason?
Doing great. Happy to be back this week.
You enjoy seeing your buddies out in Ohio?
Heck yeah, man. Traveling all over the place, you barely get to see a lot of the people that you kind of have grown up with or went to college with. So it was awesome to kind of reconnect with a bunch of those guys.
Good for you.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun.
It is. We think, I used to think that what a great gig. Doing games, getting to do the one day a week thing. It's not one day a week,
yeah, right.
Is it? I mean, it feels like you must be nonstop moving, yeah. moving.
Well, I have a bunch of other things outside of that too, between the podcast, that, and like I'm kind of getting all sorts of things. And then on top of that, to do that job on Monday, you really have to stay plugged into the NFL landscape.
Sure.
So it's a full-time gig for sure.
Absolutely.
I think if you want to do it well, I mean, just about anything in this world, it doesn't matter what it is. If you want to be good at it, you're going to have to put time in, and it's the reality of it.
Totally. You know, one thing that's always struck me about national broadcasters, there's some stuff that can go, let's say they're talking about, I'll just pick a team, the Rams. Stuff can go over our head. You know, we might not be hardcore knowing the Rams, sure. But there's a couple million people out in Los Angeles that
totally.
Know. If you're wrong, they know.
Dude, I've thought absolutely. About this so many times.
And we know that here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's really
right.
And it's really hard to know
tough,
the level that the fans know. They're always going to be like, well, that's not quite true. That guy was better in practice. That guy, you know, it's
because,
hard.
Because, Jason, you can't actually possibly watch every play of every game. Like, every play.
Some guys do. I mean, like,
Collinsworth, maybe?
Orlovsky and some of these guys are really watching every single play. And I try to watch as much as I can, especially the matchups that are really worth focusing in on, all 22 copies, and really dig in. But to do that, I mean, if I really want to sit down and watch an offense and watch a game that happened and like really write down notes, like that's like a 3-4 hour deal to like do that well, like the way I've done it my whole career, right? So like, it's a watered down version, even if you are watching the plays.
Jason, let's talk about this team. And again, Jason in studio with us for an hour and fielding phone calls at 215-592-9494. And coming up shortly, I want to get to something Nick Nurse said last night, which I thought put better context on the Joel situation. You can be the judge if you like it or not, but what Nick Nurse said, we'll get to shortly. Of course, if you want to react to the Sixers' loss last night, and, you know, they didn't have a ton of a shot without Joel and Paul George, but Jason, this team, so it was a good win the other day. There's no question. It was a thorough win. It was a convincing win. I think the thing we're all trying to figure out is, have they actually become good, or did just a 2-2 team become 4-2 because they did probably play two of the five worst teams in pro football, Cleveland and the Giants? How do you balance out who they played versus what we hope they've become?
Yeah, I think, it's always good that you're winning. The Browns win, not very impressive at all, right? You're playing a team that's struggling. But I think you try and look at things of, like, are we improving in the areas that we've kind of struggled in? And it's hard to know on defense because the last two offenses have been so bad, especially at the quarterback position. They aren't really, like, playing at a high level right now for multiple reasons. But I think they're playing really well against bad quarterbacks, which is better than playing mediocre against bad quarterbacks.
That's right.
True.
Which a lot of defenses do sometimes.
But the question is, are those young pass rushers, are they actually getting better? Or are the opponents just, you know...
Yeah, because we have seen, in the last 2 weeks, we've seen Sweat get a sack.
Yeah.
I think we saw Huff.
We saw Jalix Hunt get
got a sack. Yeah. I mean...
Is that real?
They're playing better the last couple weeks, but they're also getting into pass rushing situations, right? They're
staying,
they're getting into third down and long. We're getting ahead in points, so they're getting more opportunities. So I think that with more opportunities, they look much, much better. Bryce Huff and all these guys, when they know they can pin their ears back and get after the quarterback,
that's the sad truth. It is just so common sense.
Yeah.
It really is. Football is pretty straightforward. When you get ahead, you get a lead, you start pass rushing, guys get sacks.
No, it's good. It really
all
is.
Works.
But I think that as a whole, I think the defense has looked much better these last 2 weeks. This is a really big test for them. Joe Burrow's playing out of this world.
Yep.
They're not as good and from a running game perspective, but it's a good test for the secondary and for the pass rush. Their line isn't good at run blocking, but they do protect Joe pretty decently. So
does it feel like our defense has an identity? Like, we talk about our offensive identity all the time. Are we going to run the ball? Are we going to throw the ball? Can you sense a defensive identity yet, other than we like to yeah. send A-gap pressure every once in a while? I mean, that's sort of boring.
I mean, when I think of, like, an identity, I usually think of, like, the defensive coordinator, and maybe that's just because of the way I usually prepared was, like, you know, you're getting ready for, okay, this is the fronts he likes to run, this is the blitzes they like to do, and I think Vic does what he does, right? He's done that his whole career. He believes in things. He's very convicted as a defensive coordinator. I think that the identity that I think the Eagles are starting to develop is, like, they have a defensive line that can be very physical and very good. I don't know, pass rushing wise, they've proven the last couple of weeks in pass rushing situations they can be effective. I think the secondary, although, you know, we had some games early with, you know, Tampa Bay and you know, Falcons, like, I think they're now playing more aggressive. They're, and I think some of that maybe is some calling things. I don't want to. Like, I don't know that for sure, but it just feels like they're in guys' face more. Like, there's a, you know, Quinyon Mitchell's in Malik Nabry. He's not playing off, right? Which I think takes away sometimes some of those easy, you know, completions that we saw earlier in the season. So,
are those guys, those young guys, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, when you look at them play, are they super ahead of schedule to your expert eye? You know, like, these guys are out there. We're asking them this week to cover some of the best wideouts in America, in the world, for that matter.
Yeah.
How do they hold up?
Well, we will see this week. This is a big test, right? I think that they've held up really well to this point in the season for the most part. I am an expert on football. I am not an expert at gauging defensive backs. I will put that out there right now. Like, if I'm scouting cornerbacks, we're in a bad situation. I do think that, you know, Quinyon has played at a really high level for a rookie, and generally when the buzz of, like, every major media outlet is saying this kid's doing a really good job, which is what they're saying, it's usually pretty true. Cooper obviously didn't start early on. Now he's playing, looked good in the first start this past week, so we'll see how, you know, he continues to move along.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this, Johnny, your question about defensive identity, because it's an interesting one. So as you two were talking there, my thought was, not so you're talking about style of defense, and you know that I think the identity isn't as much about style. I think it's more about, just for the most part, a ton of young players to see how they develop over the course of a season. And I know that's not what you were going for, because you're talking about how do they play stylistically, but if you really go through it, there's very few guys that are past their first contract. Gardner Johnson and Slay and Sweat. And obviously Brandon Graham, but he's a part-time player. I mean, you really go through the young guys. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Quinyon Mitchell, Reed Blankenship in year three, Cooper DeJean, N'Kobe Dean, the other linebacker.
Well, Bond's passed his first contract.
Okay, Bond. Yeah. But it's not much of...
The other linebacker.
I forgot his name.
Come on, man.
Has he made a play since week one? Has he made a play since week one?
He's been pretty good.
Week one. This guy's Mike Singletary week one.
I think he had a sack last week, didn't he?
All right, settle down. He's got the phones. The other guy. I still don't know the name of the punter. I call him... What is the name of the punter?
Braden Mann. He's the best. We've been waiting to have a punter forever. He's great. He's the best punter since Donnie Jones.
Donnie Jones. Who was what, James?
A weapon.
He was a weapon. Donnie Jones was a weapon. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. All right, let's talk to Drew in Westchester. I want to get to this Nick Nurse audio soon as well. Drew, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, folks. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Jason, always good to talk to you. I know in retirement, you've kind of made a name for yourself sometimes having non-football takes. I know you did something about, like, soap and all. I'm just curious, do you have any, like, major Thanksgiving opinions? You know, I was thinking about maybe pivoting to, like, brisket from turkey this year. Do you have any, like, hot Thanksgiving takes at all?
Man, brisket Man, that's pretty un-American.
Why don't you roast a giant pig on the spit?
It's un-American and American at the same time. I don't know how that works, but that's awesome.
Brisket's great.
We were never a big turkey household.
Really?
I think part of that, my mom was a great cook. We had a lot of dry turkey. I'm going to be very honest.
Well, hold on. If your mom's a great cook.
Are you ripping your mom right now?
Did not see this coming today.
I'm just being
poor
honest.
Poor Donna.
I think turkey is a very hard thing to make.
It's terrible. We do roast chicken in our house.
Kylie's giving me crap about this. I bought a turkey fryer last week
because
I'm like, dude, I'm done with not
They're
making
great.
This thing delicious.
Because
the only good turkey
great.
I've really ever had is fried turkey.
Yeah, no, you and nail it every time.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to mess it up. Put a bunch of peanut oil in there, lather it with butter.
It
and
can be
season.
Dangerous, Jason. Be careful. Yeah.
So what you're saying is your mom messed it up. That's what you're saying.
I mean, I think the oven messed it up.
All right, Drew, what do you got on the birds?
I did not mean for Donna to catch a stray.
It was the oven's fault.
Serious.
So on the Eagles, Joe, I'm definitely, I'm not over the fence, but I think I'm higher up on the fence than you. And I know their record's not great, but I think this Bengals team is pretty good. So I think, if Eagles win this Sunday, I'm definitely on board. My big reason, I feel like I'm a little bit in the minority here, but I believe in the head coach. Like, these players seem like galvanized to me behind him, and what happened a couple weeks ago, reminds me a little bit of like the flower speech in 2021 where like Nick got ripped, but the players, jumped on his back. So I think there's X's and O's reasons to believe too, but I'm still a believer in Sirianni here.
I get the comparison. All right, Drew, favorite show moment. What is it? 8-year anniversary today. What is it?
So I told Seltzer you screaming about Ben Simmons, but there was one on a serious note too that I just thought of. I remember, I think it was during the Super Bowl run, you guys had a Times Yours caller. Mm. I think his name was Vaughn.
Vaughn in Maryland. Yeah, dude.
And you could just tell, I think it was maybe after the Falcons win where he was just in tears, and you could just tell through the call how much it meant to people.
Well, the one that stood out was when the Super Bowl was won, his call that next day. We'll play that in a second. Drew, give me a great answer for the Sarah Silverman tickets. A number in a phrase.
You got it. I'm going with 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, 15 great minutes answer. Of fame. That is a good answer. All right, so Seltzer will dig up some of this audio as we go. Let me, before we get to that, I want to get to Nick Nurse. And Jason, get your assessment of the Joel thing.
Yeah.
So, look, we obviously were very critical of the Sixers yesterday, and I totally believe rightfully so. But I did want to pose today the question to everyone. While their rollout of what the strategy is, how they communicated it to the public was poor, okay, very poor. James, you have made the point that you think there is logic behind the strategy of playing Joel less or a lot
Absolutely.
Less. So I just want to ask the question to everyone. Did we lose sight of having that conversation yesterday, and should – while you don't love the strategy, because ideally the player would just be able to play 75 to 82 games, you don't have to worry about it, given the fact that Joel clearly can't, are you okay with them trying something different, perhaps drastically different? Now, I asked that to you by way of saying, let's play some audio of Nick Nurse. I thought yesterday he described things a lot better than he did 2 days ago. This is an exchange with two different reporters. Let's listen to Nick Nurse yesterday.
In the last 24 hours, so I took it on the chin for former players, media, for not wanting to play back-to-backs, for not being available on opening night. How much of that is him dictating his schedule, and how much of that is you, the front office, sports science, Daryl, everyone else?
Yeah, I think it's really a collective effort. I think if you want to point fingers at any one particular person, that's not going to happen. I think our medical is first and foremost. Joel is there, our front office, myself, everybody's weighing in to make, what we hope is a better plan than it's been, right? Like, we're just trying to get him. There's been very few playoffs where he's felt very good going into them, and we're just trying to do something a little different and get him there this time.
So is that the reason he's not playing in these first three games? Is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
The plan is why he's not playing, yes. He did not re-injure himself. But the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is that they've determined that he's not quite ready to go, hasn't been in any full court scrimmages, et cetera. And that's the plan.
All right, so it's a much more coherent answer than he had previously given.
There's a lot more there. When you say he's not strong enough, he's not light enough,
yeah.
Now we've got some parameters, I guess, that sort of make sense, maybe.
Well, you
like
don't.
I can get my head around.
Here's what you
least.
Don't love about the answer. You would hope in the last month and a half he would have prepared for the season, so he was ready
absolutely.
For game one.
Yeah. By the way, the fact that you're not weight wise the right way, like they can fine you in the NFL, whatever it is, $1,601 per pound per day. What is it now? Do you know what the fine is per pound per day?
Luckily, they couldn't fine you for being underweight. Otherwise, I would have had a ton of those.
But Jason, they could criticize you in 2016 for being underweight.
Yeah, I got tons of criticism, but not a lot of fines for that.
All right, Jason, what do you make of these? So you've been here, obviously, the whole time Joel's been here.
Yeah.
You know all the twists and turns. You're a hardcore Philly sports fan. What do you make of the whole thing? The strategy, the firestorm, the whole thing?
Well, first of all, the strategy should be to try and improve the usage and playing time of Joel to maximize him during the postseason, because that's the only thing that really this Sixers team is trying to prove left. Like, if they don't make it there, it's a colossal train wreck. But Joel has obviously played unbelievable in the regular season. He's been, arguably the best player in the league, I think. And I think he's in the postseason is where things have kind of fallen apart, not just for him, for the team. So that's their focus, and I think that should be their focus. What's unique about this situation is typically with rest, you're talking about like after a guy's been through like a grueling schedule or like, you know, they're wore down, so we're going to give them some time off. This is like to open the season.
Yeah.
That's what's really just hard to wrap your head around. And I think that there's got to be something that is causing them to give him rest, because you wouldn't just do it with a guy who's completely
right,
fresh.
You can't do it. John, let me give you a theory.
You can't do this. Like, our job, a professional athlete's job is to go and play his sport. Like, correct. That is what you sign a contract to go do.
Yeah.
I can't get over the fact that they're telling us there's nothing wrong with them. They're trying to tell us there's nothing wrong with him, yet he is still not playing in the season opener.
Yeah. All right, let me give you, let me give you a theory. It struck me last night because, you know, we're all trying to make sense of this, and I'm not saying I'm happy about it, but I'm trying to rationalize it a little bit. So what do you make of this theory that Joel, when he gets injured, and like the actual injury, like a real injury, it typically happens in the spring. Or approaching the spring, late winter, spring, after he's played for 2 to 3 months, and he's stretched his legs, to use an analogy of like he's played most games for 2 to 3, 4 months, and then bang, an injury happens. Maybe the theory this year is don't let him stretch his legs, don't let him play frequently until near the end of the year,
so that if you
get 2 to 3.
What? No.
Well, John, hold on. Here's what I'm trying to get at. To win the championship, he has to play 2 straight months. Essentially without being injured in the playoffs. Like, that's what it requires.
Yeah.
And maybe their thing is, we're going to try to avoid having him play 7 out of 10 games at any point until right before the playoffs. James, do you buy that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Like, why not? What they have done so far has not worked. Every single year, like, I get the first game thing, and I understand why people get upset about that. And it was a bad look, and the way they handled it as an organization was a disgrace, as we've talked about.
Correct.
But in terms of like the actual plan for Embiid, like, why not try something different? Nothing has worked. Like, you're acting, he's older now. Yeah, like, John, you expect him to play
his
more
job
games?
To go play.
John, but that's silly, dude. That's
okay,
silly.
So
he can play less. The thing that still doesn't make sense to me is they can play him less and they can alter all these things, but I still don't think it would ever make sense to not play on opening day.
I agree.
Can't believe
there's something wrong.
I cannot get over like, that. You can't tell me there's nothing wrong. He's not playing. It's opening day.
And I think that they can say, like, he's not injured to the point that, like, there's nothing that's, like, you know, structurally there that's different or anything like that. There could just be some inflammation or some things where it's like, hey, now throughout Joel's regular season, if there's any type of like soreness, we are shutting him down to hold this thing as good as possible. Like, that would make sense to me. But the idea that like, hey, we're going to play him less in the regular season, so before he's even played a single game, we're not going to play him. I don't know how that well, rationalizes out.
So here's what worries me the most, Jason, is, and we talked about this extensively yesterday, that it's not so much that a new injury occurred, that it's just there's a debilitating situation that is just going to be what it's going to be moving forward, and they're trying to manage it. I want to play some audio. Yesterday, we had Mike Quick on the show, obviously one of the most truly great Philadelphia athletes of the 1980s. But as time went on, his career became lesser and lesser and lesser effective because his knees just couldn't hold up. Chase Utley had the same thing. By the way, in pro basketball, Anthony Hardaway had it, Grant Hill had it, different injuries, but like you just weren't the same
Tracy
player
McGrady.
Anymore.
We've seen Tracy McGrady, a lot of these guys.
Tons of players. All right. So, and by the way, Jay Ajayi is another one. It's a lesser level.
Yeah, it's a great example.
Jay Ajayi was a hell of a running back, and he was done by about the age of 27 or something, which was really a shame.
It's one of the reasons we got him when we did, because everybody kind of knew there was kind of something that was eventually going to happen there.
A shelf life.
Brandon Roy, you mentioned. Yes. I mean, that's a classic. They knew it before he was drafted.
Right, that's right. So my fear is that maybe we've entered that zone with Joel. I hope not. We'll see. Let's listen to what Mike Quick said yesterday when we asked Mike about his own experience as an athlete back in the late 80s. For Joel, I'm just curious, what exactly was it? Was it a debilitating situation for you where it just got worse and worse and it's harder to answer the bell deeper into your career? Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, you're just not the same guy. And I had really bad tendonitis in my knees and ended up having surgery on both knees for patellar tendonitis. It got to the point where I actually had to have surgery. And I don't know his case, but I know that once you start to have issues in those areas, you don't have the same legs, you don't have the same wheels, you can't spring as high, you can't go as quickly. I realized it was time for me to hang it up when guys would line up press coverage on me, and they could get their hands on me and slow me up and take me off my route. When that started to happen, I was like, okay, I need to start thinking about something else.
Jason, did you feel that? Did you get to where you actually felt like your play suffered? I know personally, my dad told me in a preseason game that he was embarrassed for me.
Wow.
My dad said...
It's a heck of a dad.
It's a wow right there.
He said... You're the first person to ever say it, but we've all thought it.
He said, I was embarrassed for the way that you played. You should be too. Like, wow,
like a,
dad.
Like a Gerard Mayo, like head coach, you're soft.
Don't be so soft. No, I can remember. I know. I can remember a play where I was offset. They said, okay, here we ran it in practice. My job was just to stretch to the flat, and Brad Childress blew the play dead. Get back, reset, do it again, John. Get to the flat fast this time. I did. I mean,
I'm trying.
I did. I ran as fast as I could. Yeah. He blew it dead again and said, John, fast, stretch the flat. That's when I should have registered.
I got
did you have a moment like that? Did you realize?
No.
Or maybe, because to my eye, it didn't look
all
like
pro
your play
in your
suffered.
Last year.
Yeah, but I will say, even though I don't think I had anything like that acutely like apparent that I was starting to get worse physically. But I knew, like, you know, when you're like one-on-one blocking somebody, the strength that you have, the hips, the explosion, you watch yourself on tape and you're like, I would have made that block earlier in my, so I think the player
I think that's
knows.
Rare though, that you were aware of that. I think that's rare.
Well,
I
here's
think
my,
usually guys get blindsided by
John,
this.
I think most, if I had a guess, I think you're in the minority on this.
Really?
I mean, if you just don't run as fast, don't you know?
No,
yeah, if like
not
you
really.
Guys who couldn't
it's
cover you before can
obvious.
Cover you.
It's not that obvious.
I mean, Jalen Hurts knows he can't turn the corner.
I was talking
oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Did I go there?
I was talking to
James. I think I went there.
Charles Barkley this offseason. I was like, how'd you know when it was time to hang it up? And he's like, man, when you start playing guys that you know you should be kicking their.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just ain't happening.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's a pretty
I think
good
my concern for Joel is because I'm no expert on the knees. What do I know? But I just, the meniscus thing. Yeah. It strikes me like that could be sapping some of his power. And that's not something I don't think you get back. Anyway, I thought what Mike said was interesting. And that's, you know, it's because that's the sport of running, leaping, and landing.
It depends on
you
how
land
they dealt with
thousands
it,
of times a season, you land.
Remember,
and he's 7'2" and 300 whatever pounds
and
or whatever.
We've heard all about that. And there have been these past few off seasons, we knew that there was like meniscal stuff. And then we knew that there was a scope. Then we heard that there wasn't. And then we know that there are other things that they can do now, too.
Yeah, but you can't, in the off-season. You can't completely solve something if it's breaking down.
Once the cartilage starts to go, it's...
That's the problem. That's the cartilage doesn't grow back.
I think that there's still, you know, this is something that is... I don't know that it's fair to say that like this is like some debilitating thing towards the end of somebody's career.
No, I agree, right? But it might begin the process, right? I mean, it might.
Well,
it is, right? Yeah. He's already having deterioration happen of the joint in some type of way. That's why he's had the surgeries and things like that. But I think that a lot of basketball players go through this. He clearly has ongoing things where he's treating it and what's the word I'm looking for? You know, paying attention to like where it's at. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. He's 30 years old. I mean, I know he's played for a long time, but he's still, I mean, that's young. Like, even, like, you have to have some very severe damage at that age to be that young and be kind of chronically done playing a sport like that.
So, yeah, look, we. All right, let's get a lot of calls
in
here.
Held out of the season opener?
Well, that too. 215, you know, he might be like Doc Rivers, who's in his 60s hobbling around.
I will say this.
It's a shame.
Now, the way sports science is, even if it is something very, very minor and something that is just like soreness, they hold you out now. And especially with what they're trying to do with Joel to get him to play the best that he can the entire season in the postseason, I could see like, you know, maybe it's not even something that's registering as like a specific acute thing. It could just be like sometimes when things are hurt or things are off, your whole body is just kind of like fatigued from having to deal with that. So like, I don't want to like, you know, I think that in general, it's probably something very minor, but.